Welcome to the Purposeful Planning Podcast, where you'll gain tangible, practical suggestions to help you transform and elevate your practice. Our content is for both seasoned professionals working with complex family systems and those just entering the field. These podcasts will also be valuable for family leaders who are dedicated to helping individual family members find their pathway to flourishing lives and strengthening the relational fabric of the family. Welcome and thank you for joining us. And now your host.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Purposeful Planning Podcast. My name is Andy Stubblefield, and I'm happy to be your host for this episode. Today's episode is titled Collaborating Through Conflict. Here to explore this topic and their unique experience in collaboration are Jeff Savlov and Garrett Wells. Jeff is a trusted advisor to business families, families with legacy wealth, and entrepreneurs navigating moments of transition. He helps them strengthen family relationships, prepare rising generations, and build the emotional and structural foundations that will allow both the family and the enterprise to thrive over time. Drawing on his background, his own family's commercial printing business, years in sales and marketing, and clinical training as a family therapist and psychoanalyst, Jeff brings a rare blend of strategic insight and psychological depth. His work sits at the intersection of family dynamics, leadership development, and long-term stewardship. Welcome, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks, Andy.
Garrett Wells is a client advisor and principal at Simon Quick Advisors, where he advises multi-generational families, business owners, and individuals navigating complex financial lives. He focuses on investment strategy, estate and tax planning, and helping families build structures that support long-term wealth and continuity across generations. Drawing on his experience working closely with families through periods of transition, Garrett takes a holistic approach to wealth management that extends beyond investments alone. His work often involves coordinating alongside attorneys, accountants, and family office professionals to help clients navigate the financial, strategic, and interpersonal complexities that come with significant wealth and legacy planning. Garrett, thanks for being here.
Excited to be here. Thank you, Andy.
Yeah. So I don't want to spoil too much before we get into it, but from what I understand, this was your first time really collaborating together on a project. And so just to start out, you know, how did you end up working together in this situation?
Sure. Thanks, Andy. And just to give a little background on the situation that came about. We had a long-standing client relationship with a woman, and we had been working with her and her relatives for a long period of time. And then over the course of a few years, the next generation got involved, and there was a relationship between her and her daughter. She represented her daughter as the trustee in the relationship, and the daughter was really the beneficiary. And it quickly became clear that there were some more things happening than just, what to do on the investments, what to do on the tax or estate planning side of things. There was tension, and there was, tension that developed and created issues that couldn't move the ball or move the needle to get things that we needed to get done to service this client and do things as a fiduciary. So we, our business is all about what services and things we can offer, but it's also about identifying things that we are not specialists or, capable of, advising on. And that's when the decision to, speak to an outside professional like Jeff really came about. And we had been introduced to Jeff through our network here at Simon Quick. So we reached out and said, hey, we have a difficult relationship between a, family members, a trustee and a beneficiary. They're all adults. And we think we could, use your unique background to, kind of implement some strategies or things to be able to, maintain a relationship between the two of them, but also get some things done that we need to service them as a family. So Jeff and I had a discussion, and we brought him up to speed, and I'll kind of let Jeff introduce himself and how he integrated as well.
It was a new relationship between me and Simon Quick. Garrett and I had never even crossed paths. I had spoken to some other folks, but he and I really met around this case. So it was brand new. We didn't know anything about each other until we got thrown into this situation. And that's kind of interesting when you're, kind of pushed into collaborating with, he didn't know me, I didn't know him, even though his firm knew of my reputation. That's kind of an interesting piece of the puzzle. When we decided to do this podcast and kind of talk about the whole situation and how it unfolded, I remember pre-COVID going to one of the PPI rendezvous a while back, maybe 16, 17, I forget, but I knew there was an article that had three E's or three I's or three S's. I knew it was something, but so I Googled for a while and I came upon exactly what I was looking for, and it was by Ryan Zeeb. And I tried to get in touch with him through LinkedIn just to say, hey, thanks for the article. We're gonna use it all these years later. But it was called Collaboration: The Good, the Bad, the Ugly of Ego, Economics, and Expectations. So we're gonna weave those through kind of telling the story. In terms of ego, it's not easy to sort of ask for help. Simon Quick, thought they had what their client needed, and they had a lot of great stuff, and they turned got into a situation where it was out of their sort of realm of expertise. Some firms would sort of push through or try to get a mentor or take a quick class or go to AI, and these guys said, you know what, this is just not our expertise. We have a lot of stuff we're good at. This isn't it. Let's reach out for help. And that's sort of the one of the ego parts. Ego can be setting aside your ego and asking for help, or it could be not setting it aside and not doing, what's right by the client. So a lot of respect for them. There's humility in sort of recognizing that you need to ask for help and then still staying in your lane as things go forward. I had to stay in my lane, and there were times when things were out of my area of expertise, but I kind of know a little bit, and I had to be careful to kind of stay in my lane and push it back to Garrett and vice versa. And we really found a nice little rhythm to that. It wasn't a typical engagement structure. These guys had actually offered to pay the client, to pay me for the client, because they had accepted a fee for sort of some of this family dynamic work beyond the investment and stuff, the investment area. They decided to take some of the money they had already been paid and pay me, which is another sort of area of kind of that's ego and economics and expectations all together. But I think a lot of firms would have just said, hey, you figure it out, the fees with Jeff to the client. And these guys really stood up and said, you know what, I think they paid us money and we're not able to give them exactly what they want. I just had so much respect. Did I sort of describe that right, Garrett?
Yeah, definitely. And it does take some humility to say, hey, I think we need some outside help. It wasn't the first thing we recommended, but it became clear after, trying multiple different angles that this wasn't a typical behavioral finance, stuff going on. It wasn't the typical, X's and O's that you see in the playbook in financial planning. There was something more at work, and that's what caused us to reach out, because at the end of the day, I know Jeff feels similarly. It's what's best for the client, and that felt like, going to Jeff and asking for his service to see if we could, make things better here.
And so we hit on ego. Then you've got expectations. And initially, it was a sort of a defined, we will pay 10 hours of Jeff's services for you guys to see if you can work out, getting past this sticking point. It wasn't totally clear what was included. Was this 10 strict client hours separate from calls and emails, which there was a flurry of calls and emails. I mean, it was kind of harrowing. So at some point we had to sort of have a conversation. Hey, I'm getting close to 10 hours. Is this 10 hours plus, calls and emails, or are we close to finished? And, that was maybe halfway through, so we had time to figure it out. And, it turned out, yeah, we're paying for a 10 hours total. You guys figure out what you need. And I was able to manage the client's expectations. The first call was a Zoom call, And so I was, in one office, Garrett was in another office, and the mother and daughter were they in the same room or were they in different rooms?
They were together, I believe. Yeah, they were
Okay.
together for that first call. Yep.
Yeah. And it was really intense. And in my world, this kind of stuff happens all the time. And I let it go for a bit because I want to see what it looks like when it gets bigger than, no, it normally would be in front of a professional and see how they handle it. And then Garrett decided, I'll let you take this part.
Yeah, and for us, that tension and the back and forth or the banter, we typically want to interject, get back to the agenda, make progress on items within that agenda. But we asked Jeff to implement his strategies and techniques. So I, once it was a little awkward and things were kind of coming out ahead, I sent him a note offline. I said, "Hey, do you want me to interject here, calm things down?" And he, responded right back, "No, this is exactly what I need to see. I appreciate you, reaching out, but I'll let you know if I want you to, interject or I'll raise it aloud in the meeting." But not only the expectations on how to bill or what the, client we need help with, it's really important to have that extra level of communication because this is the first time Jeff and I have worked together, and just we need to over communicate to really, know how to handle each other's side of the business.
Yeah, and this, Zoom really allowed for that. If we were in the same room, he might have just sort of looked at me and maybe I would have just given him a knowing glance and he would have shut up, or maybe he wouldn't have interpreted correctly and he would have said, "Hey guys, let's get back to the agenda and everybody calm down." Because it was on Zoom, he messaged me and the mother and daughter had no idea. I was able to say, "No, let this ride." And then I was able to do my thing, and that was sort of it was sort of like jazz. There's a great video I came across this past year where Herbie Hancock is talking about playing with Miles Davis, and Herbie played some wrong note, and Miles Davis doesn't miss a beat, and he incorporates the wrong note into what he does. And he took what was a mistake, and there are no mistakes for Miles Davis and jazz, and he just kind of coordinated and made it like a beautiful new thing together. And so there's some of that went on here. Luckily, we're on Zoom. He messaged me, I messaged back. He was able to see the way I sort of let it escalate to a point and then sort of intervene and sort of developing expectations around what's your role, what's my role, and how they're different, and getting to know that on the fly was really a pretty big deal.
Yeah, I imagine that. I mean, there's so often, I think, with these collaborations that happen, you've got, two individuals who do know each other. And so the uniqueness of showing up in a space where you're getting to know each other at the same time too. And so what I really hear is how important that Gary used the language of like over communicating from the start of, and really figuring out, okay, so what is your sort of dynamic? How are you going to engage with this? And you're each bringing your unique styles into it, and your perspectives and sort of agendas, based on your expertise into it. And so being able to work together, it sounds like, what was really helpful there was having that curiosity of the other as well. Garrett, to message Jeff offline and figure out, hey, what do you want to do with this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and
And go ahead.
go ahead. I was just gonna add, even with all of that communication or prep meetings or, email traffic, there's still things that you don't get right the first time, right? It's your first experience working together, collaborating. There's going to be things like Jeff mentioned on, hourly, do emails count, do meetings count, or for us, what's within the scope of, Simon Quick's offering, what's not. But
Yeah.
collaboration is going to help. And, the more you do it, the more will you'll uncover and figure out ahead of the call. And that just makes the process so much smoother.
Yeah, or screw up, which when we got to the budgeting issue, so the mom trustee wanted, but I remember I only had 10 sessions and things were in such upheaval that I was just trying to calm and calm things down, see if they could speak to each other and really help the beneficiary daughter just kind of wrap her head around how much do I want to be connected to my mother in this craziness? How much do I want to be independent, even if it means having to make my own money? Like there was a lot of existential stuff going on. And then the mom trustee demands that there be some kind of a budget developed. What's the income, what's the expenses, and it does it all fit. And I just assume that the Simon Quick sort of family office folks did that. And so I sort of sent them the Simon Quick way. And this is something they didn't exactly get into at this sort of level. So I had to sort of, I wish I had a Zoom. I had messaged first before telling, sending them to Simon Quick. And we had to sort of go back and forth and let them know this really wasn't the kind of service that they provide, and it's not the kind of service I provide. And we put our heads together and we found someone in the state that they lived in that was kind of like a local expert in coaching around really the nuts and bolts of how much money do I have? Where's my checking account? How do I write checks, pay bills, and still eat and stay within my budget? And we found someone who was able to do it. But honestly, if I could go back, I would have said, I don't do that. Let me double check and see if those guys do. It was an innocent assumption, but it was incorrect. And, it was an expectation that was wrong. And we sort of fixed it, and wasn't a huge life-ending thing, but it's sort of the nature of the beast.
Yeah, just like that jazz analogy. You hit some odd notes, but you find a way to integrate it into the song and keep going, and making sure the client's getting the best experience and still marching towards some end goal that is to make things better too.
And there were
Curious.
some real, yeah, go ahead.
I was just curious about that. That part of the relationship where you both sort of recognize within your roles that this was going to sort of move outside of the scope, and how you went about sort of communicating with each other, and and then setting up that outside consult, and do that in a way that is going to maintain the relationship with the client.
Yeah, I don't think it was a really big deal at the time. Although, looking back, the mom seemed, I remember some comment from the mom, and so most of it was with the daughter. But when you got access to the mom, there was usually some kind of like butt kicking to be happened. If it wasn't for to the daughter right in front of you, it could be one of us. And I think he there was she was frustrated that this wasn't something like that I personally was doing. I didn't have a lot of scope discussion with the mom. I was sort of sent off until things weren't going the way mom wanted them to. And I was doing some really good, deep, intense work with the daughter. But when mom came in toward the end, it was like, you haven't been doing budgeting. Like, we were talking about really existential kind of mother-daughter independence, dependence kinds of stuff, not budgeting, but there was some level of upset by the mom and some shock. I clarified, and it was tricky, sort of being called out like I wasn't doing my job and trying to manage expectations on the fly during that one particular call. And I don't know what you remember, Garrett, but we sort of got through it and said there are professionals who do this level of stuff and we can certainly find it. But there wasn't one of my disappointments is it sort of ended after the initial 10 hours, and really there was so much left on the table, because the mom just sort of ended it, was unhappy, it didn't go the way they wanted, even though some really intense stuff came up with the daughter. Garrett and I don't even know what we each know. Like, I know a lot of very personal and devastating sort of life situations that the daughter is dealing with, and I don't even know if Garrett knows them, and we don't have permission to even talk about it. So we had to be very careful even what we talk about. But I was sort of helping the daughter where she was at and where she really needed some heavy duty support. And the mom probably still to this day doesn't even know what we were actually talking about. I don't even know how much the mom knows of all the things that I know, whether or not Garrett even knows it.
Yeah, that's, you hit on a couple of great points, Jeff, and kind of one of those goes back to the Ian for economics. And from the start we kind of said, hey, we're going to try 10 hours, but also kind of gave you the expectation this feels a little bit like a Hail Mary. This is two adult relationships that we just want to see if we can cast a line, get some bites, and if it really progresses in a positive manner, let's keep going. And I think it's important to say, like, hey, this isn't going to be easy. It might be short, and we don't know if it's going to be a lasting, type of relationship. But going in and saying that from the beginning is just really important when you're collaborating, especially with someone new. But to your other point, Jeff, we just kind of had that guiding principle of we don't know what each other knows, but we're gonna, continue on with what, we can collaborate and partner on, whether that's on, the financial side or, setting up meetings, calls to go over specific budgeting items or, trustee beneficiary issues. Just if we didn't have permission, we didn't discuss any of that as it should be because there's, client privilege.
Yeah. And if this continued past the 10 hours, I imagine we would have gotten that kind of permission and it would have been useful to share some of those specifics. But it never really got there. And you guys were great up front saying this is a really tough situation. We don't have these high expectations of what can happen, but it's worth a shot to try. I'm still disappointed that, hindsight, if there was some way to better connect with the mom so that her expectations were more realistic, but it was one of those, here, fix my kid, fix my kid, fix my kid. Okay, I'll jump in at the end, tell you you didn't fix my kid, and I'm pissed about it, as opposed to maybe being involved during those 10 sessions, which I did try to do. But yeah, you always feel bad when things don't end as ideally as you hope, especially with a new colleague. But I think it's why it makes it a good case to share, because it wasn't really clean, didn't end clean.
Yeah.
Right.
And you communicating some of those items as well, Jeff, right? Like you reach out to me, it's like, hey, there's two sides to this puzzle. Can we set up some joint meetings? Can you try to help from your angle to, bring mother and daughter to the table and have some discussions? Because I think it'll be beneficial. And it was great for you to ask us to, reach out and help. It didn't end up, or the results weren't what we both wanted and intended for, but we put our best effort and, foot forward trying to do so.
Yeah, and going back to that first the first Zoom with the private message, while I did let the mayhem kind of build a bit, I remember intervening, and by the end of that, mother and daughter were both like really like, wow, this was really different. It got heated, but then it calmed down, and then we did something useful with it, and there was some excitement there, but then mom was sort of like, fix daughter and I'll talk to you in 10 weeks, and instead of being involved. And it just seemed exciting at first, but it was sort of disappointing for me that I wasn't able to do more.
I'm curious, so what do you take away from an interaction like this? And maybe even, I hear the disappointment that you're speaking to, Jeff. And also, was there anything that you would define as a success out of that encounter?
I think I took away a lot of things, Andy, specifically kind of Jeff and Jeff's role, how he interacts with complicated, wealthy family dynamics that are not just business or wealth management, adjacent. And I also took away like, success is not just a positive outcome. Like there's a scale there and we just want to, get things better day by day. It doesn't have to go from 0 to 100 completely. But I think partnering with Jeff and having additional resource, that's a success for me, for our firm. Building a network of, collaborators is very important to any business, especially the one we're in. Even though we didn't, fully ease all those tensions between trustee and beneficiary or mother and daughter, we showed we're willing to try something new. And I know they appreciate that, that we're willing to step out of our, traditional comfort zone, if you will, and do things that we think's in their best interest, even if it's not something we typically do. And we're willing to pay for a portion of that as well.
Yeah, that's great. And I would say, an appreciation for Garrett, who he is as a person. I'd say we are both pretty emotionally intelligent and humble people, and that's not always the case with other professionals. Sometimes you get, arrogance and controlling type personalities, and it can be really tough. So it was just such a pleasure to be able to struggle openly, to question, to be curious, to not know the answer and put our heads together. I felt like I had an ally. They're not, not all collaborations go this way, so I'm really appreciative of that, and maybe it gives me some things to think about the next time I run into a difficult collaboration where we can sort of work around it. And certainly got to know more people at Simon Quick and talking about other kinds of collaboration. So I feel like a nice relationship beyond just this situation. And I'm glad that I was flexible. I set this up, and I don't usually work hourly, and usually they're just more intensive engagements, more complex. And I sort of said, you know what, let's try it. 10 hours, let's see what can happen. And it was a fun experience, and I'm glad I did it.
For PPI members or our listeners out there, curious, if they're stepping into a collaboration like this, what's something you might offer for them to think about, to hold on to from your learning through this experience?
I would certainly recommend the Ryan Zeeb article. It's not very long, and it has a lot of very specific things to consider. Things to think about, things to talk to the other person about. What are you expecting from me? If this goes great, what will I accomplish on my end? What will you accomplish on your end? If we're feeling uncomfortable or some kind of tension between us, are you open to talking about that? Because it's likely to happen, in a tough engagement. I think doing some of that stuff up front is really helpful for anyone, especially when you're collaborating with someone you don't know.
Yeah, and I would add, just partner with them while you're collaborating. Don't send them off on their own. Give them a quick email summary. Jeff had, some of those early hourly sessions. There were questions or things he would ping me out, and I made myself available to, answer or discuss them and partner with him so that he can do the best job and, not just start from scratch and, be on your island. You really want to, collaborate and partner with each other within your lane. I'm letting Jeff, focus on the things that, we asked him to aid with, but we weren't, a ghost third party, come back to me after 10 sessions. It was very collaborative the entire time.
Yeah, I would definitely just express my appreciation for that piece, that you were available. And there were times when, a lot of times in collaboration it is that way. Here, go do your thing, let us know what happens. But I needed stuff that you knew about, the kind of the trustees' intentions and the way the trust was set up, and various ways that the monies were dispersed. There were specifics I needed to have good conversations, and you would jump in often. You would make yourself available on short notice to either jump in on a call or have a call with me to explain things I needed to do a better job. So, that's just invaluable.
Well, thank you guys. I really appreciate just bringing the awareness to the what a great tool in the 3E's that is out there for people who maybe haven't collaborated before but are looking to do so, or if they have and they're looking for something to say, hey, how can I do this better? I think it's a great resource, and for really the emphasis on how important and helpful just keeping that open communication is throughout this process. And I feel like you guys not only talked about it, but really showed how you did it through this. And so thank you, Garrett and Jeff, for your time today and for joining the PPI community for this podcast. Thank you to all our listeners out there. And we hope you'll join us for the next one too.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. And if you are a member of the Purposeful Planning Institute, I want to invite you to come post in the community forum and share your key takeaways from today's conversation. And if you're not a member yet, here's your invitation to join us and be part of our community and access the network, resources, and tools you need to transform your client relationships and your practice. And don't forget to use promo code PURPOSEFUL to receive a 10% discount on a membership. Learn more at purposefulplanninginstitute.com.